Glory to God. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thought I'd try and get this done so I could enjoy the rest of the camp. If you don't believe it, you should try it. There's been some wonderful ministry here this evening in song. And it's ministered to my life. I was turmoiling in my seat, trying to take notes and think, well, you know that. You know, your mind goes in every which direction. And I just thank the Lord for the Prince of Peace. Praise God. I was telling Brother Andy that I've got a whole iPad full of notes for this meeting. And I look at them the next day and I thought, what was I thinking? It doesn't make any sense. There's no thread. There's no nothing. And yet when the Spirit of the Lord comes, You can take scriptures and they all just flow through. They just flow. And that's one beautiful thing about Revelation is that you don't have to lay one thing aside to endorse this. It just begins to flow together. All, it's wonderful. Praise God. And song that we sang today was It's a Glorious Salvation. It's a wonderful way, and it is a wonderful way. And it's actually a way we've never been before. Been thinking about God's progress, you know, and I wrote out a bunch of stuff in Samuel about how God changed the course during Samuel's time. And maybe we can just read a little bit about that. In Samuel, I might have some notes here that might make some sense on this one. But in Samuel, Elkanah had two wives, and one was Penina, and one was Hannah, and they wanted a baby. Hannah wanted a baby, couldn't have a baby, and finally she did conceive, and she committed Samuel unto the Lord. And The thing that God seemed to be doing in Samuel's day was raising up a man that would carry a torch. And maybe we can read from 1 Samuel 8. Chapter 7, verse 15. You know, as you know, Samuel was in the house of the priest. He grew up there. As a young boy, he had a message to deliver. Eli was the priest, and his sons were also priests, and they were not behaving themselves as priests were, or should. And in 1 Samuel 7, verse 15, it says, Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And in verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 1, it says, it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. So he was really wanting to rule the children of Israel by a judge. The name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, and his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. I read a few things in that. One is that there's a story that talks about they were carrying the ark, and there were certain people that should be touching the ark, and the ark kind of started to shake a little bit, and so they went to steady it, and it took their life. Sometimes we can look at the church and we can think maybe it's shaking a bit. God has set an order how the church functions. It's not the order of man, it's the order of God. But in this event here, God was about to change the history of God's people. In this very chapter, right here. They had an opinion, as we do, as I do. They can look at the brethren. You can say, well, they're getting on in age, and where's this thing going? I'll tell you where this thing is going. It's going exactly where God wants it to go. Because if this was the plan of man, I would not be standing here. I'd be gone. God is restoring. God is restoring. They looked at the natural scenarios. They looked at the conditions, and they said, we need to fix this. We need to fix it. And he said unto them, Behold, thou art old. Thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. Did they get a king? Yes, they got a king. Sometimes we should be careful what we want, what we ask for. The thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. I like that Samuel was connected to God. The Lord said unto Samuel, verse 7, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto me, unto thee. They have not rejected you, they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. What a powerful words. That I should not reign over them. You know, the Bible talks about we should walk in the light. And it says if we hate our brother, we are walking in darkness. You know, we are dealing, when the kingdom is within you, it says. Jesus Christ is living right inside of you, the King of Kings, the body of Christ, the head and the body, one. And when I look on you, there is a Christ within you that I can connect with. And it's the same Christ. When Mary and Elizabeth met, there was a leap in the womb, but they had never really seen each other. And you've got to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and a heart that understands. We have to begin to have those eyes and those ears that when we talk to one another, that we can identify Christ in our brother and sister. You know, the scripture says that whatever we've done to the least of these my disciples, we've done unto him. So you can look to the person right beside you, and you can say, there's a member of the body of Christ. I was so glad. You know, Jesus said he's given us gifts. And I'm a plumber by trade. And if I came to your place and I had my toolbox, and we sat down for coffee, and you've got a faucet leaking, you know, these are wonderful gifts in my toolbox. It might be a pipe wrench, it might be a basin wrench, it might be whatever. But as long as it's in that toolbox, it's useless. I'm a plumber by name, but not by occupation. And that's, you know, when God gave gifts into you, he gave of himself. He gave of himself. And how beautiful when you see the orchestra, you see the piano, you hear that saxophone, and is that what it is? And you can tell I'm really high on the music talent. But I was thinking, boy, you know, I got to get these people, these ladies, got to sing this glorious salvation song again. That verse that they started singing, it's just beautiful. I just loved it. I could hear the Spirit of Christ. And I was sitting there turmoiling. You know, what am I going to say? I'm just going to enter into the presence of the Lord. Yes. I'm going to forget about what I'm going to think about saying, and I'm just going to let the Prince of Peace come. And so here he is. They have not rejected you, but they were rejecting a human being. Isn't this Samuel? We know his sons. They were rejecting God. And when we reject one another, we're doing the same thing. It's been on my heart a long time already about discerning the Lord's body. I see it right here. This is the Lord's body. Right here. In you. You're a part of the body of Christ. I've said this before. We're not in the toleration business. We're in the I need you business. What part of your body don't you need? My nephew cut his finger off. I think he needs it. And we need every member of the body of Christ. They have not rejected me. They have rejected me. That's God. That I should not reign over them. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. Samuel told the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him of him a king. He said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. Don't forget, this is a deterioration here, isn't it? This is a slide downhill. And so, what does this downhill slide look like? And the reason I'm talking about this today is because God is taking us out of the valley. Amen? This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself. It's kind of like losing your family. For his chariots, to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. Maybe we could say, well, what's so unusual about that? We're all working for people. He will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants, and he will take your men servants, your maidservants, your goodliest young men, your asses, and put them to his work. Going to put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. The Lord will not hear you in that day. What would we have done on that type of a note? Somebody's telling you exactly where you're going. They said, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. God doesn't want us like that. He doesn't want us like all the other nations. He wants you to be a separate people. Called. Chosen. Faithful. Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. Samuel said and the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every one unto his city. Somebody mentioned that they had... People were tired of hearing about 1948. But I'm renewed inside. When I read this scripture, I'm renewed. Why am I renewed? Because there was young people fasting and praying for the Spirit of God to undo this very situation. They all came from heads. Always a top man. You can always find a top man. Saints of God, God has taken the top man away. He's talking about the coming together of the body of Christ. We don't have a top man. I have been... This is my first time at this podium from the time that I was prayed for and Lois and I were prayed for. And I feel... I don't feel any hierarchy in the brethren. Because God's not looking for that kind of a scenario. God is not looking for that. God has an order, all right. He has people that want to carry that need to carry the ark. And if believe me, although Samuel's sons were not walking proper, God had a resolve for that also. God is not stuck. But when we enter into our own resources and we begin to flush out, well, you know, you can have a meeting and you can start thinking, well, you know that those guys, you know, you can have an opinion. But I can tell you, what we want is we want the Lord to build a house. Because unless the Lord build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. Amen? I might be done. Anybody disappointed?